Let's take our Bibles and open up to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 9. If you have found your place there in Revelation chapter 9, let me ask you to stand out of respect to the Word of God. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. And then that sat on them. And we'll just go ahead and stop right there. We'll pick up with that in just a moment. Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture. Father, we know that this has not yet happened. But Father, we also know that this will happen. Merely history pre-recorded for us. As we consider it this morning, we pray that you would press upon our hearts the reality of this scene that you paint for us. Father, may our hearts be moved and stirred. May your Holy Spirit work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we've been considering the trumpet judgments, if you recall, we've divided them into two major parts. The first four trumpets are judgments that made life difficult. These next two judgments are two judgments that make life dangerous. Now, last week we reviewed that fifth judgment, and that was the judgment of the locusts that looked like horses, that had a crown on their head, that had the faces of men with the teeth of lions and the hair of women. So they also had the tails of a serpent, the tails of a scorpion. So a very unusual looking creature. God's assuring us that this is nothing we've ever seen. You can't go to any natural history book or natural history museum and see anything like this, because God has created these demons, and this is what they looked like. And that's what they'll do. Terrible judgment. 5 months after being stung, there'll be absolute anguish of pain. Unimaginable. Pain so intense that men will desire to die and yet be unable. That's the fifth judgment. When we come into the sixth judgment that we've introduced with the verses we read this morning, we find that this judgment becomes increasingly severe. Because now we have not torment, but now we have death. Now we have death. In the first few verses, verses 13 through 16, we have their debut, speaking of these angels that were bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, the Euphrates is still there today. We know it over in the Middle East, a large river. There was a fellow who years ago attended church here. In fact, the first time he visited the church was my first Sunday here, just as pulpit supply. And he wound up coming back and joining the church and stayed with us for a while. But he had fought in one of the Iraqi wars, and I remember his description of the Euphrates River and how large this river was. And he said it was like a river he had never seen before. Very, very large river, very wide and very deep. But in this river are these four angels. And you know they're right there right now. We can take our sonar and we can explore it with divers and submarines, and you know we'll never find them, but they're there right now. And the reason why God said in verse number 15, they're prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, God says that they're there for a reason. And they're not going to come out of that river until that reason is ready to be fulfilled. Until they're ready to be loosed and do what they are going to do. But notice this when he talks about them. In verse number 15, it says, which were prepared for an hour and a day. It doesn't say they were created for that hour and that day. Now, we looked at the locusts last week, and I reviewed it just briefly this morning, and we see these horrendous beasts, angels, fallen angels, demons. The Bible calls them devils with a small d. And then we're introduced to these four. They're going to be allowed to take a great part of mankind to the grave to kill them. And we lose sight of the fact when we read of the horror that these angels are going to create, these fallen angels, these demons, these devils. We lose sight of the fact that when they were originally created by God, they were created to give Him glory, to sing of His praises, to do His will and His whim, and to sit at His feet and to learn from Him. That's what these creatures were created to do. And we read their descriptions and we say that these creatures were created for death and destruction and for torment. No, they weren't. They were created with that capability, but that wasn't their purpose from the beginning. That is not why they were created. But God in His omniscience before creation ever took place, and it started before Genesis chapter 1 because the angels were already there. And all of the angels, including the devil himself, are created beings. So God created them in some way, I imagine, through the spoken voice, just like the rest of the world. But they were created before God said, let there be light. Because they are eyewitnesses, the book of Job tells us that, to the creation of this earth. And these angels, God knew, would one day rebel against Him. That they would join Satan in his rebellion. And so as He created them with the capability to do what they would eventually do, not yet having done it, but in the future, our future yet, are going to do it. God created them with that capability. And these angels are no different than those locusts. Created in order to give glory to God, turned on God, fell, and they were so furious, and they were so terrible, so vicious, that God said, I cannot let these angels dwell among man because they will destroy before their appointed time. God says it's very clear. There's a specific moment in the time of this earth on our calendars that they're to be loosed and not a moment before. But if they were active right now, they would be killing people by the millions because that's what they're going to do there. Both Peter and Jude referred to angels like this that are reserved in chains until judgment. I believe these four are some that are referred. Now, I believe there's more than these four, but these four are some of those referred to by Peter and by Jude as being reserved in chains because of their ferocity. And so we see their debut. Their day has come. Their time has arrived. And so the command is given to loose them through the blowing of this trumpet by the sixth angel. Now it's in response to, and I find this interesting, in verse number 13. The blowing of the trumpet is in response to the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Do you remember back into the sealed judgments and the fifth sealed judgment? God shows us the same altar, except underneath that altar, there's the souls of the martyrs, those Christians that were slaughtered for their faith. Very early on into the tribulation period. Now, by the time this happens, we're about halfway through the second 3.5 year period. So we're about the 5 or 6 year mark by now. But all the way back then, at about the 6 month, 7 month mark, maybe 9 month mark, but probably no longer than that, there's all these Christians that have already died. They've been martyred by the Antichrist and his minions because of their faith in Jesus Christ and their openness about it. And now they're in heaven. And remember what they said back then in the sealed judgment. They said, God, how long until vengeance is taken upon the ones who did this to us? And God says, now just hold on. Just hold on. It'll come, but not yet. And so I find it interesting, and I almost wonder if that's the voice. Now, the voice is singular, because I believe the cry is singular. One crowd crying out in unison, God, bring vengeance. And now God says to them, it's time with the blowing of this trumpet, and they, in unison, command the angel to sound. And the angel sounds, and these four angels are released that bring such devastation upon the earth that a third of the earth's population is going to perish in this one judgment. Now let's go to the classroom, the math classroom. Let's just say, now I looked this up earlier this week, middle of the week, they say there's a little over 7.7 billion people on the earth. But I'm going to round down just a little bit to 7.5, just to make it easy to do the math. So let's just say that there's 7.5 billion people on the earth when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place. And let's be very generous, and I think this may be maybe even a little light, I don't know. But let's say there's 1.5 billion Christians on the earth when the trumpet sounds. Now, I know there's people that will say that's way too large of a figure. Okay, so keep that in mind when we're talking the numbers. Let's say 1.5 billion are saved that go in the rapture. They're no longer on earth. So you take that 1.5 billion from 7.5 billion, what do you have? You're left with 6 billion people on earth when the tribulation starts. That's a big number, but it's 6 billion. In the fourth seal, remember the rider on the horse is death and hell followed after. You remember how many people die in that one judgment? 1/4 of them that are left on earth. Now we're just using 6 billion. And I'm not subtracting for those that died in the war of the second horseman that took peace from the earth. I'm not even including that, nor am I including those that die in the famine and all the other things. There's three things that people die for are from in the third horse. So I'm just trying to use even numbers. So 1/4 of 6 is what? What is 6 divided by 1/4? It's 1.5 billion. There we go again. 1.5 billion is going to be our number, by the way, if you want to look sharp the next time we do our math. So if you subtract 1.5 billion from the 6 billion left, what do you have left? 4.5 billion. Okay? So at the end of the fourth trumpet judgment, we're about 6 months in, maybe 7 months into the tribulation, there's only 4.5 billion people left on earth. Now, when we started, there were 7.5 billion. We're already down to 4.5 billion. Try to picture this in your minds. That's almost half of the people are gone. Think about driving down in Columbus. Amy and I went to the airport last night to pick up Samantha and the kids. It was a ghost town. That's what's going to happen. Our towns and our cities will be ghost towns. Half the people are gone. But it doesn't end there. We come here and we're going to assume there's still 4.5 billion. But there'll be people dying from the other judgments. But we're still going to just stay with the even numbers. Now here, these angels, these four angels kill another third. What is a third of 4.5 billion? Now what's our magic number? 1.5 billion. And that's what a third of 4.5 is. So if you subtract 1.5 billion from 4.5 billion, you're left with 3 billion people. Now, that's a lot of people, 3 billion. It really is. But we started with 7.5 billion. So by the time we get here, the earth's population will be cut more than in half. And again, as I said, it's not including a lot of the other judgments that bring death and loss of life with them. And so when these angels come forth, these are massive, massive judgments. And we just see a third and a third. We see it's not a very big fraction. And if I go home today and Amy says, okay, I'm going to give you, you're on a diet, Ken. You need to be on a diet. She's probably right there. the second statement, not the first part, that I'm on diet, because I'm not on a diet. You've all heard it. I'm on the seafood diet. I keep my food where I can see it, right in front of me. But anyway, she says, okay, you can have 1/3 cup. Doesn't matter what it is. It's not enough. Captain Crunch, someone knows me too well. But that's just not very much, is it? It's not a big number to us. But when you put it in the perspective that there's probably going to be about 4.5 billion people on earth, and 1.5 billion is what that 1/3 represents, that is massive. How many people are in the United States of America? Anybody know? About 300,000, just taking a rough number. What part of 1.5 billion is 300,000? That's only about 20%. And so you just wipe off the United States of America, wipe off Canada, wipe off Mexico, basically almost wipe off the whole Western Hemisphere. And you probably got about your 1.5 billion. This is a huge number. That's what's going to happen when these four angels debut and do their dirty work. In verses 17, 18, and 19, we have the description. And again, we're going to be confronted with the fact that these are nothing we've ever seen before. They're unique to this time frame. But it also gives us an insight into God's creativity and how He created the angels. Because when I say angel, we think of a long flowing haired lady with wings on her back wearing a long flowing robe. That's how we picture angels. Or you picture a little naked baby with little tiny baby wings on his shoulders, often playing a harp or shooting a bow. And that's what you think of as an angel. Angels are never, ever described that way in the Bible, but here's how they're described. Okay? In verse number 17, we read the first part of it. Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and then that sat on them. Now this first description describes the riders on those horses, and nothing else is told us about the riders. It says that they have breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. We understand fire. Can you imagine wearing a breastplate of fire? I hope you don't have a beard or mustache, because you won't have it long. Not if that breastplate is fire, if it's literal fire, and there's no reason to think it's not. Jacinth is a gemstone that they say is a blue. I remember the gas stove my mom had. You always wanted to cook on blue flame because it was hotter than yellow. So we're talking a hot shield, and then the brimstone. We know it more as sulfur, which is very flammable from what I understand. And it doesn't smell very pleasant either. And that's the breastplate. That's what they're wearing on their chest. These are just the riders. But then it's going to switch over to the horses themselves, which I believe are the demons. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Okay, but they're horses, but the heads look like lions. Now, we're getting back to the idea of the locust. That didn't look at all like a locust. But I think they were a locust because of the size, and I believe they probably swarmed together. I think the horses here are horses because they probably had the general shape of a horse and they're ridden, but also probably the size of a horse, but it has the head of a lion. But no ordinary lion, because let's continue. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And so here you have a horse with the head of a lion, with a fire-breathing head of a lion. And so imagine the terror that these will strike in the lives of anyone coming. Now, I don't know that they made the noise of horses. If horses are coming, you can hear them from quite a ways away if there's a whole large amount of them. And we're going to see the amount of these. In fact, I think it was already mentioned back in verse number 16. Maybe I should have highlighted that a little bit. 200,000. How many is that? 2 million. I'm sure we've all heard someone preaching on prophecy saying that China is going to put together this 2 million strong army and march up the Euphrates. Where do they get that from? Well, one of the last vial judgments, V-I-A-L, vial judgments, the third set, is the drying of the Euphrates. So the armies of the east, China, India, and that region, so that they could march towards Armageddon. Where do we get the 200 million from? We get it from this verse. But these aren't the Chinese armies, are they? This is something else. We don't know how large the Chinese army will be, or the Chinese Confederacy, call it that, so that you can include all the other nations, the kings of the east. It's plural, all the armies of the east. And so this is where we get the 200 million. Well, the 200 million applies to these demons here in this judgment, the sixth trumpet judgment. And so there's going to be an army of 200 million strong on these horses that have the heads of lions that are breathing out fire, smoke, and brimstone. And then verse 18, by these three was the third part of the men killed. Here's how they'll die: by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, but also, now God doesn't say but also, he says and, in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Doesn't necessarily say that they kill, does it? It just says they hurt. And so they may wound with the tail and then turn around and kill with the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone. And so it's not just the fire-breathing head of a lion, but it's also spewing out the stones. Now, I've never seen a creature like that. In fact, some people think that a fire-breathing dragon is mythological. All I say is read the last few chapters of the book of Job and read about Leviathan, who is a fire-breathing sea animal. And you'll understand that these things are historical, even though we may not see them around us today. They're true-life creatures, and that's where the myth came from. It only became a myth because we won't believe it unless we see it. But God says that doesn't matter. God says what matters is what His Word says, and His Word is always true. His Word is always right. And when we learn that, we come out way ahead. All right, and so they're killing people. This is their description. It's a horse with the head of a lion that breathes fire and the tail of a serpent that bites and hurts. Now, the hurting may refer to death. I don't know. Sometimes it's used in that fashion. It could very well be that. But they kill a third of the people. Now, the amazing part about this whole prophecy, and this is all amazing that we've read, 200 million is a big number. That type of a creature is amazing. But here's the more amazing part, and that's the defiance of the people on earth that are lost. Their absolute defiance. Look with me in verse number 20. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, you would think they'd be crying for mercy, begging God for forgiveness, but that's not at all what we see. Yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Here you have a God in heaven demonstrating His reality, demonstrating His power, demonstrating that He is alive. He sent these devils that He's created to create havoc, to draw men to Himself. Remember, that's the point of every one of these judgments, is to bring man to repentance, because God, even in the tribulation, is not willing that any should perish. He's cared enough to send the two witnesses in Jerusalem. He's cared enough to send out the 144,000 witnesses that we've seen preaching the gospel. And now He's allowed in the sealed judgments man that simply have his way and do what he wants to do. And now He's stepping in, and now He's bringing judgment, but it's all with the intent to draw man to God, that they might realize that what they're worshiping are false gods. And as He says at the end of the verse there, that neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. In other words, they're powerless. They're lifeless. They're imaginary. They're just a stick of wood or a block of stone. And that's all they are. And yet, with all of this, I find it amazing that man refuses to turn from his own way of salvation, from his own works of salvation. That's what they're doing. They're saying this stick of wood or this block of stone is going to rescue me. It's going to save my life and everything will be fine because I've got a stone that I've prayed to and I've given my offerings to. How foolish is that? And yet it's no more foolish than the man today that says, I'm going to go to heaven because I've gotten splashed underwater. And I've gotten myself all wet. And that's going to get me to... That's no different than that. It's no different than the man that stands up today and says that I'm an atheist and I'll be all right because I don't believe there's a God and I don't believe there's a heaven and I don't believe there's a hell. It's just as foolish to pray to a block of stone or a stick of wood and say that stick of wood or that block of stone is going to make everything fine. It's no different. No different at all. It's a way of salvation that is apart from the biblical way of salvation. And all men that cling to those good hopes of works will wind up in hell. God doesn't want that. And so He sends this 200 million strong army of demons in order to convince them that they need to get saved. And they won't. They refuse, hard-hearted and stubborn, to admit there's a God in heaven who is holy. But they not only not repent of their works of salvation, but they also repent not of their sinful lifestyles. Verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so God lists on specific sins they refuse to turn from. We live in a murderous culture. We're murdering every year hundreds of thousands of babies. And I don't know what the actual number is. You never get them until they're about 3 years old. But we've murdered a whole nation since abortion was legalized. Never made it right, but nevertheless, it could be practiced. We're murderers in our nation. Now we're murdering people that are considered to not have a high quality of life. I was talking to another pastor that has some pretty serious health issues. And what he told me, he got treatment. But he told me something that caught my ear because it's the same thing my doctor told me. You're young and in relatively good health. Therefore, we will proceed with surgery. What if I wasn't young? What if I wasn't in relatively good health? Would then the health care be denied me? You see, we live in a murderous culture, a culture of death. And it's only going to get worse in the days ahead. And it doesn't matter who's president. I know the incoming group are very pro-death. But it doesn't matter who it is. This is a culture that has just infested our society. It's not going to change during the tribulation period. God calls it sin. And God says, because of this sin, I am bringing a terrible judgment where a third of the earth's population, 1.5 billion, are going to die because of how I feel about this culture of death. You see, in God's eyes, all life is what? Sacred. We don't have a right to choose and to decide. The second sin he talks about, not just murders, but he talks about sorceries. And we're thinking Harry Potter or I don't know any other famous sorcerers. I've never watched or read Harry Potter, by the way, but most of us heard about it. It's just a lesson on witchcraft, how to become a witch. And we think, well, witches are just fairy tale. No, they're not. They're demon worshipers. But anyway, that's what we think when we read sorceries, and we think, well, I've never been involved in sorcery. Did you know I was a sorcerer once? Yeah, I used drugs. The word for sorcery in the Bible is the Greek word pharmacia. Now, it's obvious the English word we get from that, pharmacy. And so it's talking about those that are using drugs. Did you hear that Oregon, this election process, legalized hallucinogenic mushrooms? So if you want to destroy your mind and see all kinds of weird things like what's described here. If you want to see it early, just go to Oregon. Go to a dispensary, they call it, to make it sound like it's for your health. And that's how they justify these things. Even though in Michigan you can get recreational marijuana, you still have to get it from a dispensary to make it sound like this is healthy and this is wise. No, it's foolish. And God says it's sin. God never gave us the right to destroy our minds in that fashion. Did you know booze is included in that? Booze is no different than these other drugs. It's just more socially acceptable. And that's not going to change. And as we see, mushrooms are the fad. I mentioned about 3 months ago how the city of Ann Arbor decriminalized mushrooms. This is the fad now, mushrooms. And after that, it's going to be the heroin, the LSD, the other drugs. They want to decriminalize it all so you can do it. And if you get caught, it's nothing more than a ticket, like a parking ticket or a speeding ticket. You just pay a little fine, go on your merry way and do it again. And it'll never be any stronger recourse than that. But God says it's a sin. It doesn't matter what our culture says. It doesn't matter how socially acceptable it becomes. God says it's a sin that's severe enough that He's going to kill 1.5 billion people because of it. I'd say that's pretty severe in the eyes of God. And God's the one who has the ultimate authority. Our president, our legislator, they have some authority. Our military has a great deal of authority. But it's absolutely nothing compared to the authority of God has. An ant has more authority over you than the military has or our government has over God. Imagine an ant in your sidewalk saying, holding up one of his little legs and shaking it in your face saying, "You ain't passing me, not over my dead body." What would you say? You wouldn't say anything. You'd just squish. And there he goes. Well, that's about the idea of a man saying they have more power than God. God says murder, a culture of death, is sin. God says this drug culture we're in, the drug craze, it's sin. Severe, serious sin that God is going to judge. Then he says fornication. And we talked about Netflix. And if you still have Netflix, you ought to cancel your subscription. That's the only voice we have. Because they're just in it for the money. And they, if you didn't hear, they put out a show, they call it a movie, that peddled child pornography. And they have been adamant justifying it. They just refuse to say, well, maybe this was a mistake. They will not say that. They knew nothing but say that this is our right. We can do whatever we want. There's nothing wrong with this, is what they're saying. What I didn't realize until just recently is that that was not just a one-time movie. That's actually a series. It's coming out of France, but it's a series. And Netflix intends to air more shows of it. And so, like I say, if you still have Netflix, you really ought to rethink that. But everywhere you look, fornication. We live in a sex-crazed society. God says that's sin. He says it's a serious sin. Doesn't mean sex is a sin. God says in its rightful place, it's a wonderful thing. But when we take it outside of where it belongs, God says it's now sin. And it's a sin that's serious enough that 1.5 billion people are going to die in the tribulation period. The fourth sin, he says, is thefts. Taking what does not belong to you. What's going on in these, I have to put it in quotation mark, protests. It's just mass theft. Legalized mass theft. That's all it is. What is it when our politicians take all that money from China and from Russia? It's theft. They're taking bribes, saying they don't have it. It doesn't belong to them. In their position, they are forbidden to take that kind of a payment. It's a theft against the American people. And we go on and on with theft. We know it's a real problem. We live in a theft-crazed society. See, things aren't going to change going on into the tribulation period. But that doesn't mean it's not serious for us today. These are serious sins. And we as God's people need to stand up and be that man or that woman that stands in the gap. And we need to be the light that shines in a dark world, because they need to see our good works so that they can glorify God in heaven in the hopes that they'll repent. Now, these in the tribulation period are there because they have such a hard heart that they aren't going to turn from these things. But there'll be a few. And that's the same way it is today. There'll be a few. Most will reject it. We understand that. But there'll be a few. Don't let the culture stop you from living right and trying to win others. The seal or the trumpet judgments, boy, they get pretty terrible, especially this sixth trumpet judgment. This is really going to happen. Souls are really going to go through this and wind up in hell. What can we do individually to keep that from happening to our loved ones? Only you can answer that. Share the gospel. However you can, as often as you can, pray for them as much as you can until they get saved. The hour is late. We see our society mimicking the tribulation society, and we know the days are close. Father, we thank you for your word. Challenge our hearts to just simply do what we need to do before it's too late. Father, we pray for those souls that we try to share the gospel with, that they might be saved before it's too late. Father, lay some soul on our hearts as individuals that we might take the gospel to this morning. May we see the lateness of the hour and the urgency that we should have. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.